Okay, everybody, this year sponsored this morning, like usual, by the Greensteins in memory of Yomi, Yosef Menachem Ben Gershon, and breakfast sponsored by Bagel Munch, Leilui Nishmas Vega Bas Chaim Shimon Ben Zeiv.
And also Leilui Nishmas?
Yeah, my father. Hmm? Yeah, I have your site today.
Say his name.
Okay. I need that. Okay, we're at the Vayam and Aleph. The top line. Okay, we're used to Kriyas HaMegillah being like many other mitzvos that an individual does them. You have an individual chiyuv, and you have to do the mitzvah whether or not you have a minyan, and maybe there's a heder mitzvah to do the mitzvah in a group. So this Gemara presents the possibility that maybe you need a minyan for Kriyas HaMegillah. So see here on Hey Amar Aleph on the top. The end of the line. It says, Amar Rav. Rav, the Amora, the transitional Amora, says, Megillah Bismana Korenos Afilu B'yachid. Sure, if you're doing Kriyas Megillah on the day that it's the proper day, then even B'yachid, without a minion. But Shalom Bismana, but if you're reading the Megillah on a day that wasn't the official day, than Biasara. There are different situations why you might read the Megillah not on the proper day. The two obvious ones are if it falls out on Shabbos, then you have to push it off. Or if you're in a kfar and you're going to read it earlier in Yom HaKnisa on the previous Monday or Thursday, so you read the Megillah not on the proper day. So in either of those cases, Rav seems to be saying you would need a minyan for that kriya, not Biachidus. And Ravasi, Ravasi argues with him and he says, you know, I think that in either case you need a minyan. Bein bezmana, bein shel bezmana, b'yasara. You need a minyan in either case. Rishonim have a machlokas here about whether this machlokas is alachadchila machlokas or a b'dievid machlokas. You'd have to read the Gemara kind of both ways to see what it looks like in both ways. But in any case, either way, we're seeing that at least Shalom Bismana, everybody agrees you need a minion, and the machlokas is only about whether Bismana you need a minion. Hava Uvda, and Rav is Mekel on this, and Ravasi is Machmer. Hava Uvda, once it happened, Hava Uvda means Hayamai, so once it happened, Bechashle Rav, Lahad Ravasi. And Rav demonstrated that he actually felt it proper to follow Ravasi, namely, Rashi says, he went to get a minion. He kind of insisted on getting a minion, or something that demonstrated that he was makbid to have a minion for the Kriyas HaMegillah. So this makes it seem as if even Rav, the one who's the Baal HaMeimra, that you don't need a minion, was also kind of deferring to Ravasi on this one, so it would seem like that's what we would require. But that the Rishonim all on the page, or Rishonim all in the back, the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch don't insist on it. They say that this is that a minyan is proper, and it's better to do it as a heder, and not only for the regular reason, but for, we could imagine other reasons why Kriyas HaMegillah B'Yasara makes sense, maybe Pirsumei Nisa. But in any case, that's what this Gemara says, that but you know where, because they're relevant, because we don't have Yom HaKnisa nowadays, and we don't have any Purim Shechal B'Shabbos except Shushan Purim Shechal B'Shabbos. And when Shushan Purim is Chal B'Shabbos, so then the stakes are higher. According to this Gemara, possibly everybody would require, whether L'chadchila or B'dievet, a minyan for the Kriyas HaMegillah when they do in Shushan Purim, meaning in Yerushalayim. If they're doing Kriyas HaMegillah, Shelo Bismana, because of Shabbos, when they do it on the Friday, they might need a minyan. And non-Yerushalmis may not need a minyan to the same extent, even though it's the same day. Okay, let's keep going. The Gemara says here, Umayama Rav Hachi. Did Rav really say this requirement that you need a minyan? Ve'ho'ama Rav Yehuda, when it's Shalom Bismana, ve'ho'ama Rav Yehuda B'reid Rav Shmuel Bar Sheis Mishmei the Rav. But Rav Yehuda Barei, the Rav Shmuel Bar Sheil, has quoted a statement, a tradition that he heard in the name of Rav. And this, you know, there's another one of things about Rav. Rav often says confusing coded statements. We've seen this a number of times. Whenever Rav is the one who's speaking, you should be ready for some possibly unintelligible statement that they were going to spend some time trying to make sense of. That's one of Rav's hallmarks. So here's what he does. He says the following. The tradition that they had a name of Rav. Purim shachal yos b'Shabbos. When Purim falls on Shabbos, Erev Shabbos zmanim. Erev Shabbos zmanim. So they're trying to understand, what did he mean by that? Erev Shabbos zmanim. So ha-Shabbos zmanim. But that's not it. But after all, it's Purim shachal b'Shabbos. Purim is Shabbos, not Friday. So doesn't he obviously mean to say, this might not be so obvious to you, but this is what the Gemara thinks so far, is what it's obvious that Rav must be trying to say. Shelo bizmanim kizmanim. That when you're reading the Megillah, when Purim is Chal b'Shabbos, and you're doing it not on the right time, it should be exactly the same status as if you were doing it at the right time. And mazmanim afilu b'yachid, afshelo bizmanim afilu b'yachid. Namely, what Rav presumably is saying is that there are no differences in the halacha of a Kriyas HaMegillah, of a deferred Kriyas HaMegillah, or in this case, it wouldn't be deferred, or it would be anticipated. But it should be the same. In other words, there shouldn't be any different requirement of having a minyan. That's the way we're interpreting Rav. So that goes against what Rav said explicitly over here, what our tradition on the top of the page said in the name of Rav, that you need a minyan for Shelo Bizmanas. So there's a problem. Gemara says, no, you misconstrued what Rav was trying to say, you misunderstood what his intention was, and Gemara says, no, Leini Mikra Megillah B'Yasari, he was not saying anything about the requirement of a minyan. Ella, my Erev Shabbos Zmanim, what did he mean when he said that Erev Shabbos is the Zman? Simply, Liapuki mi the Rebbe. In the previous daf, we said on the bottom, when Purim is Chal b'Shabbos, then while our Mishnah says you read the Megillah earlier on Friday, but Omer Rebbe in the previous daf says, Omer Ani, I think Rebbe says that you should read the Megillah on Yom HaKnisa already on Thursday. So Rav is coming along over here to say, Liapuki mi the Rebbe, to say against Rebbe. Namely, to confirm the psak of the Mishnah, the Omar, Hol v'nidchi aras imimekoman yidachul Yom HaKnisa. Rebbe's opinion is that you should read the Megillah on Yom HaKnisa. So, Kamash Malan Rav, and Rav was coming to tell me, Erev Shabbos Manim, that it's like the Mishnah says, you don't push it back to Thursday, read the Megillah on Friday. So it doesn't have anything to say about whether you need a minyan or not, and therefore, the Rav's statement about requiring a minyan on Shelo Bizmanah readings stands. Okay, Mishnah. Hey, is it a Yer Gedola? What's an Yer Gedola? Well, for purposes of what? So, possibly for purposes of Kriyas HaMegillah, that you read the Megillah in an year on the 14th on Purim. Purim, you get to read the Megillah in Purim in an year. Kol Sheyesh Bo Asar Batlanim. Pachas Mikan Rei Zikfar. If you need to have Asara Batlanim, you need to have 10 people who are Batlanim in the ear. The Gemara is going to say what that is. Bachas Mikana Reza Kfar. Less than that, it's a Kfar. What's the implication of being a Kfar? Then you're also going to read the Megillah on Yidal and on Purim. So the Rishonim have a lot of trouble with this exactly. What does that mean? It's a Kfar, it's not an ear. Or maybe it means only with respect to other cities around it that want to have kfar status, they have to come and provide for an ear. Maybe this doesn't count as an ear, if that's the case. In any case, whatever the intent of this ruling is, that this Mishnah says that an ear needs to have a Asara Batlanim. Now the Mishnah says, well, be'elu amru makdim and v'lo mi'achrin. For Kriyas HaMegillah days, we say you read the Megillah earlier, if necessary, like if it falls on a Shabbos, below Ma'achron, you can't postpone. Aval zmanat se kohanim v'tishba v'chagiga v'hakel. But the following number of things, the couple of things over here, which sometimes also have to be preempted because of a Shabbos, they get pushed back. They're delayed rather than pushed up. And what are those things? It says zmanat se kohanim, which is, and we've seen this before in Tanis, It's when the various families would finish their responsibilities of providing for the wood, and they would bring a korban on their final day. I think we saw some of this on the Tu B'Av sugya at the end of Tainus. And so what if that fell out on the Shabbos? So then they would postpone their Yom Simcha for the next day. Tisha B'Av, well, we know Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, then we fast on Sunday. Chagiga, the Korban Chagiga on Yantif, you have to, when you Ola L'Regel, to Beis HaMikdash, you have to bring an Ola Sri and a Shalmi Chagiga. And if it falls on Shabbos, you can't bring these Korbanas, so you have to bring them later. You don't bring it earlier, you don't bring it before Yantif starts, you bring it afterwards. And Hakel, which is, you know, every 7 years, on the Sukkot of Motzei Shemitah, on the first day of Chol HaMoed, on the second day of Sukkot, that's when they would do Hakel, except if it falls out on Shabbos, then they can't do it that day, so they would do it the following day. Miachron v'lo makdimin. Now the Mishnah says another rule. Aval pi she'amru makdimin v'lo miachron. Even though we're reading the Megillah earlier, we're back to the Kriyas Megillah now, even though we're reading the Megillah earlier, mutar and behesped of etanis. That doesn't give the character of the day a day of simcha. So like on the Yom HaKnisa days, you'd be allowed to do hespedim and taniyos. Just because you read the Megillah doesn't make the day transformed into a Yom Simcha. U'matanos le'evyonim. And you do matanos le'evyonim on that day. Also, that's what we saw earlier, that's what they mandated. They mandated matanos le'evyonim on the day of Kriyas Megillah. Then the Mishnah finishes. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, we saw this Mishnah quoted earlier. Emasai, when is there a hakdama of Yom HaKnisa? Makom she'enechnasim b'sheni v'chamishi. Aval makom she'enechnasim lo b'sheni v'lo b'chamishi. Ein koronos el bismana. But Mishnah says, but if you're a kfar, but you don't actually go into the year on Mondays and Thursdays, then you don't read the Megillah Yom HaKnisa. So that presumably also relates to the top of the Mishnah. But anyway, the point is that we saw this earlier, that a place where the people, I guess, frequently go into the city on Mondays and Thursdays, they have Yom HaKnisa leniency. You have to look at the Rishonim. The Ritva is a very interesting one over here. He turns the whole thing into really, it's all about a kula for the Kfarim, where they don't necessarily have a minyan for davening regularly during the week, but they make an effort to go in on Mondays and Thursdays for Kriyas HaTorah. They don't emphasize the marketplace. Everything is all wrapped up. It's all marketplace, Yom HaDin, and Kriyas HaTorah were all kind of for the same package. And so he says that's really the key to what's going on at Yom HaKnisa, is that it's an opportunity for them to be able to have easy access to a minyan for Kriyas HaMegillah. So they made the kula for Yom HaKnisa. So that's why this part of the Mishnah is saying, look, if you're not taking advantage of the Monday, Thursday kula, so then you don't use the kula. It's not for you. It's for people who always rely on the ear for their like Kriyas HaTorah responsibilities.
So that's really the main part of the Mishnah.
That's how we understood it. We didn't really see a lot of that, you know, earlier on. The Gemara didn't emphasize that at all. That's what they're saying. All right, the Gemara says, Tana, back to the Gemara's comment on the line of, that says that an Ir Gedol is when there's a Sara Batlanim. The Braisa here, the Gemara quotes, Tana, Asara Batlanim, it doesn't just mean people, 10 people who hang around, unemployed, who waste their time, it means Shabbat Beis HaKnesses. It means people who don't go to work. Or someone say they don't go to work right away, and they're always in the Beis HaKnesses for davening times. They're a regular minion for davening. Or it means that they don't go to work at all and they only spend their time in the Beis HaKnesses. All right, two dots. Be'elu amr makdimin v'lo miyachrin. But the point of that, obviously, is that where there's a reliable minion, where it's regular and dependable that you have a minion.
Rashi says that they're batlanim mimelachtam v'nizonim mishal tzibur.
Yeah, Rashi learns that it means that they're always not working. And others say that it means that they're not working during davening times. Normally, you know, you go to work at the break of dawn, so you're not there at work. You're not there in shul. I don't know. You don't know exactly how these communities operated. But
that's right. That's one way. I thought they were Falashans.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Why should that require all day?
I thought that's what you were saying earlier, that maybe they're off just for the davening time.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Rashi was saying that way, but other Rishonim talk like that. All right, so do that. Ve'elu amar makdim ve'lo
miyachrin.
We didn't have the 10 o'clock hour. Yeah. Ve'elu amar makdim ve'lo miyachrin, but not the other things. So Mishnah, then the Gemara is going to go into, well, why is Megillah pushed earlier, and why are all those other things delayed? My time, huh? Why do we read the Megillah early and not push it later? So we already know the answer. Amar Rebbe Abba, Amar Shmuel, Amar Krav, Velo Yavor. Because the Pasuk says that you have to keep all these days, Bizman Am, and, and Velo Yavor. And Velo Yavor means that you're not allowed to violate these rules, but the implication being that you're not allowed to let the days pass by. The Amar Rebbe Abba, Amar Shmuel. Once we quoted something in the name of Rebbe Abba, quoting Shmuel, let's see some other thing that Rebbe Abba said in the name of Shmuel, unrelated. He says, Minayin, She'en monim yamim l'shanim. How do you know that you don't view a year as being made up of a certain number of days, rather it has to be a certain whole number of months? She'namar l'chadshei hashana. L'chadshei hashana. Hey, that's on the side they quote this from Shmos, but there are other places where that phrase appears. The words of Chadshei Hashana imply that you treat a year as being a product of Chadashim, not Yamim. Chadashim atamon l'shanim, v'yatamon yamim l'shanim. And Rabbanim de Kisri Yishum Rebbe Abba Amru, and in a related way to that, we have the other statement in the name of Rebbe Abba. I don't know which Rebbe Abba this is. Is it the same Rebbe Abba as the one who made that statement? Maybe. How do you know that you can't view a month as being made up of number of hours? Because we know that a month, on average, is 29 and a half days. So you might argue that has the status of a month. 29 and a half is a month. So this pasuk is saying, how do you know that that's not true? That you have to view a month as being made up of a whole number of days. Yamim ata mechashiv lechadashim, v'yata mechashiv she'os lechadashim. Rashi says it has to do with, you know, if you make a neder, make a commitment, or a tanai, or something that's you define, you know, to the end of the month, so it's not presumed to be down to the hour, you know, like molad based. It's presumed to be at the end of the day, of the last day of the month. Okay, two dots. And let's go through them one at a time. Tisha B'Av, why do we postpone that when it falls on Shabbos? Because you don't want to bring in Tisha B'Av early before it falls on us. So we push it off. We don't like putting it early. There would be other reasons, presumably for Tisha B'Av also, because of what we learned on other occasions about how Tisha B'Av, really the 9th or the 10th, would have been good candidates for Tisha B'Av. So if the 9th is ever out in a particular year, it would make sense that anyway it would be on the 10th. The Gemara here gives this other rationale, because you're not trying to hurry it up. Chagiga, the Hakel. Well, Chagig and Hakel are obligations the Torah prescribes at a certain time. And so if you can't do it on that time, then it doesn't make any sense to push it earlier because Mishum Diakati Lo Matas Man Chiyuvai, because the Chiyuv didn't start yet. And because the Chiyuv is not a one day and then terminates, it's a Chiyuv that starts and you have some time. So obviously, if you can't do it on the first day, you're going to have to wait until a later time, not the earlier time, because the chiyuv didn't start yet. So now we have a braisa that's also obscure, unclear what it means. And we're going to have like five pshatim about what this braisa means. But here are the words of the braisa that's going to serve as the basis for this next discussion. Tana, there's a braisa that says, Chagiga ve kol zman chagiga me'acharin. That's it. Nice, small, braisa, compact. It seems to be saying two things. It says chagiga, and the whole time of the chagiga, ma'achrin. Now, chagiga refers to the korban chagiga. That's the korban shlamim that you bring every regel of the shalosh regalim when you go to Beis HaMikdash. Is there a mitzvah to bring an olas re'i and a shalmi chagiga? Is he bring a shalmi, and that's called the chagiga. V'chol zman chagiga me'achrin. You delay that, if necessary, presumably. So here's what they try to work out. B'shlama chagiga. Oh, I understand that law that if about chagiga. The mikla b'shapsa me'achrin and le'baza shapsa. I understand that if the day that you would bring the chagiga, namely the first day of Yantif is Shabbos, then I can't bring it then, so I bring it the next day. That's what that means. Chagiga ma'achrin. El isman chagiga. But that other part of the brisa, where it says zman chagiga ma'achrin, ma'i, what is that referring to? Amar Rabbi Yoshiya, Rabbi Yoshiya says, achi ko amar. He says, no, here's what's going on. It means the chagiga, if that falls out on Shabbos, the first day of Shabbos, then the korban chagiga is going to have to be postponed. But then it also means the olas re'ia afilu b'yantif. And then also saying, but that other thing, that other part of the regel, the other obligation of the regel, that has to be postponed also. And that's not only because of Shabbos, that's even the yantif. That means that you can't ever bring the olas re'ia on yantif. So if you make your visit to Beis HaMikdash, you know, on the first day, you can't bring your ola with you. You can bring a shlamim, unless it's Shabbos, in which case you can't bring either. The Gemara says, and we've learned this before. The Gemara says, we've learned, in this group, we've learned, look on the side, it says this came up in Beitza and in Rosh Hashanah. So we've seen this a couple of times, whether you can bring your Korban Ola Sri'i or Shana Chagiga on Yantif. So here's what it says. It says, well, if Rav Moshe is right, then who is the author of that Braisa? It's not Beis Hillel, it would be Beis Shammai. It says Mani Beis Shamayi. This non, because the Mishnah says Beis Shamayi Omrim Mevi'in Shlomim BeYantif VeEin Somchen Alein Avol Lo Olos. Beis Shamayi say you could bring your Shalmi Chagiga on Yantif, but you can't do Smicha on it. That's one, and two, you can't bring your Olos Re'ia. That's Beis Shamayi Shita based on Psukim. And Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel say that's not true. Mevi'in Shlomim VeOlos VeSomchen Alein. Beis Hillel say you can bring your shlamim, you can bring your olas riyah also, and you can even do the smicha on them. That's the smichas that are unrelated thing for us. But the point being that if anybody's going to say you can't bring your ola on yantif, that must be Beis Shammai talking. So okay, so that's how the Gemara understood what Rav Moshe was thinking was going on in this brisa. This brisa wasn't the Beis Hillel brisa; it was the Beis Shammai brisa, and it's referring to Beis Shammai shita that the chagiga sometimes has to be postponed, but the olas riyah is always not done on the first day of Yantif. Rava gives a different interpretation. So far we've had one. Rava Amar Chagiga calls him a Chagiga. He says, well, you have to change the Braisa. As is, it doesn't mean anything. But he had changed, get rid of the Vav. It says Chagiga calls him a Chagiga Ma'achrin, not Ve calls him a Chagiga. It's not a separate thing. It's just telling you about the parameters of the postponement of the Korban Chagiga. It says, Chagiga, kol zman Chagiga miachrin. You can postpone the Korban Chagiga as long as it's the Zman Chagiga. Which is what? Tveilo, but not any farther than that. This nan, like it says in the Mishnah, Mishalo chag b'yantif rishon. Like it says in the Mishnah, if you didn't bring your Korban Chagiga the first day, shel chag, chogeg v'holeich, es kol regel kulo. You can bring your Korban Chagiga, the whole Moed. And V'yantav Achron Shel Chag. And on Sukkot, even Shmini Atzeres. Av HaRegel V'lo Chag, Ein Achai B'Achriso. But if the whole, even Shmini Atzeres passed by, then you lost your chance. You don't have any further obligation. Ein Achai B'Achriso. You lost the mitzvah, and the mitzvah is over. So that's what he understood. He understand when Rav is saying Chagiga, Kozman Chagiga Me'achron, means your postponement of the Korban Chagiga, not only because of Shabbos, just in general. If you don't bring it on that day, you have as long as the Zman of the Chagiga, which means you have the whole regel. And the point being, and Rav Ashi happens to kind of go with this and amplifies, Rav Ashi Amar Chagiga v'chol zman Chagiga miachrin afilu batzeres. Rav Ashi says that the point of this brisa is telling me that not just the Korban Chagiga gets the Zman of the Chagiga, even at Seres, whose hell is only one day. So how are you going to handle Atzeres, either if it falls on Shabbos or just generally if you couldn't bring it on that first day? It says, even Atzeres to Chad Yoma. mi'acharin. That you postpone that also. This none. Like it says in the Mishnah, Morim, She'im Chal Atzeres Yos B'Shabbos, B'Sham B'Yisrael, everybody agrees that if Shavuos falls on Shabbos, Yom Tavuach, Achar Shabbos, that you bring the carbon after Shabbos, even though it's not Shavuos anymore. It's not Shavuos. So you still bring the carbon, Chagiga, and as Rashi points out here from the other Gemara there, that you actually have a full week for that korban. You have a week to bring the korban. So that's also implied in this Kozman Chagiga Ma'acharin, that a week's worth of Zaman, of makeup time. That's why a lot of people these days don't see Tachanun a week after Shavuos, on the assumption that that week that's relevant for bringing the korban Chagiga afterwards should kill Tachanun. Okay. I'm Rabbi Elazar, I'm Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Elazar said, and name Rabbi Chanina, the following. It's a little bit of a tangential story, and we'll only understand the point of contact later on. So this is what we're told. Rebbe, it's three unusual things that they're reporting that Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi, Rebbeinu HaKadosh did. Rebbe Natan Atiyah Beporim. He planted a garden. He planted on Purim. And Rachatz. The Corona Shel Tzipori, the Shavasher B'Tamuz, and he went publicly and he took a bath in Tzipori. Tzipori is where he was living. It's in the Tveria area. Corona Shel Tzipori means some kind of a public time. Rashi says Yom Hashuk on Shavasher B'Tamuz. Okay, we're not entirely thinking what's so odd about that. We do that too. It'll be Kesh Lakar Tisha B'Av, and he wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av. V'lo hodilu chachamim. But the chachamim didn't agree with this last proposal. So this were three odd things. Amar lefanav Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda. Rabbi Bar Zavda told him, now this him is referring to Rabbi Elazar, quoting from Rabbi Chanina, that you got something wrong and you're recounting this story or this tradition about Rebbe. It says Rebbe, look, achaya maisa. This is not Rebbe meaning you. Look, achaya maisa. That's not what happened. Ela Tisha B'Av shechal b'Shabbos hava. No. What was going on was that year Tisha B'Av fell on Shabbos, and it was going to be postponed. So Rebbe just proposed the dechid al yachar Shabbos. Rebbe proposed. You have a Rebbe hol v'nedcha yidacha. Maybe we should get rid of this Tisha B'Av, since anyway we have to push it off. So the rabbi spoke about this one time, not too long ago, I think, even, about this this idea of pushing off, get rid of Tisha B'Av once it's already been postponed anyway, that maybe we should just get rid of it. But in any case, that's what Rebbe's proposal was. And they didn't agree with his proposal. So Rabbi Elazar said to him, well, that's what they say. Two are always better than one. That you correct it by error. Now, they don't ever ask about Shavuos B'Tammuz. Tosfos just makes the point. Shavuos B'Tammuz is one of the big four. So the halacha would be that all of the four fast days would have Tisha B'Av status if it was at a time, and we learned this also in Tanis, I think, is that Bizman Shaye Shalom, then they're not fast days at all. So we haven't had such times in a long time. Bizman Shaye Ain Shalom and Ishmad, so then they should be days like Tisha B'Av. Then the Shavuos B'Tammuz days are days like Tisha B'Av, where you'd have an Issa Rechitza, and have all the other Inuyim, and it would be a 25-hour fast, all of these things. That would be true about Shavuos B'Tammuz also. But what Rebbe was doing was, apparently in his place, it was that intermediate stage, where it says it was Ratzu Misanim, Ratzu Ein Misanim. It's that if it's Ein Shalom Ve'Ein Shmat, so then Ratzu Misanim, Ratzu Ein Misanim, and presumably that was what was going on in that place. It was Ratzu. And what Ratzu means, the Rishonim all say, is that means that it didn't have the severity of Tisha B'Av. It would only be the minor fast. So that's the condition that we have now, is that it's we fast on Shavuos B'Tammuz, and the other three fasts in the spirit of a minhag to fast, but not because it's mandated, and therefore it has the leniencies that we know that you can shower and the fast doesn't start at night; it only starts in the daytime. There's no restriction against leather shoes, that kind of thing. Okay, but now the Gemara is wondering a little bit about the Purim part. Rabbi, how did he plant a garden on Purim? The Atani Rabbi Yosef, but Rabbi Yosef quotes Atani Rabbi Yosef, the Amora quotes his brisa that says Semcha Meshtev Yomtov. The Psukim say that when Mordechai and Esther sent around the instructions that they want to establish this as a holiday, as a day of Simcha Meshtev Yomtov. What are the implications of those three terms? Simcha means Melamed Shas Hespeid. It's a day of Simcha. It's not proper to have Hespeidim. Mishta, it's partying and Shas B'Tainis, no fasting. And Yom Tov, Melamed Shas B'Yas Melacha. Don't go to work. Don't do Melacha. I'm Purim. So, what's with Rebbe? How did he plant this garden? Now, the Gemara says, well, it must be that Rebbe was a regular ear person, and he was planting on Shushan Purim. Rebbe bar Beiser Hava v'chinata v'chmeiser nata. He was planting on the 15th of Adar. So that's all. I mean, that's reasonable. The Gemara says, hold on a second. We know where Rebbe lived. Ain't even a Rebbe Tveria Hava. But Rebbe was living in Tveria. And Tveria, Mukavis Choma miyosheshu abenoni. And Tveria was one of these walled cities. So we're going to discuss that a little bit down on the bottom of the page there, what that's all about. Oh, so the Gemara says, oh, okay, fine. So let's change that. Rebbe was a 15-er, a Shushan Purimer, because he was in Tveria, which was 15. The Chinata V'Arbezerav. Okay, so just that he was planting on the 14th. So people were noticing it, and then they were taking note that he was planting on Purim, even though for him it's not Purim, it's the 15th. So the Gemara says, hang on a second. Mipshita late, it's very Mukav Shirbinoni. What is it so obvious to Rebbe? I don't know, it's a little funny because I mean we're putting this into. So we're saying, was Rebbe really so convinced that Tveria is a walled city from Yeshua Benun time? Veha. Now they're not quoting, they're not arguing based on Psukim or anything, Mishnayos there. Veha Chizkia. But we know that Chizkia, the Amora of Chizkia, Kari b'Tveria b'Arbeiser b'Chameiser. He used to read on Tveria on both days, the 14th and the 15th, out of a Safek. The Safkalei, Yimukavis Chameshu Benoni, I lo. He would read the Megillah on the 14th and the 15th because of a Safek, whether this was a walled city or not. And so what was, so why would we think Rebbe would have been clearly a 14th-er or a 15th-er? As we decided, because of Tveria. The Gemara says, well, l'chizkiyah v'safkalei, l'rabbi pshitalei. Well, okay, just because Chizkiyah was wondering about it, he was uncertain about it, so doesn't mean that Rebbe had to also have that same suffix. Now, if this were a matter of, like, archaeology or something, about what the Metzias was, so then we have to kind of argue out, what is the Metzias? But that's not what we're going to see in the Gemara later on. We're going to see that the issue is a halachic issue, which is why it certainly does easily support two different people having two different positions on the question. And Rebbe may have held one way and Chizkiyah held a different way. Or Chizkiyah was unsure whether to paskin like Rebbe on this point. One very critical thing that emerges from this discussion, a very important question is that really what you would do if you're not sure about whether your ear is walled from Yeshua Benun time or not? Is that really what you would have to do? You'd have to read the Megillah on both days. Is that the halacha? Because that's what it sounds like was, I guess, assumed. Because Chizkiyah had a suffix, that's why he read the Megillah on both days. So the Rishonim don't accept. The Shulchan Aruch does not require it. The Shulchan Aruch has days that are Mesupak. You don't have to read the Megillah both days. This was Chizkiyah's Midas Chasidus, that he did this. Because, it's a Midas Chasidus to cover your bases, but you wouldn't be required to. They quote the Rishonim that say, no. If you're not sure whether this is a walled city or not, and therefore whether it's a Shushan Purim or regular Purim, you read the Megillah on Purim, on regular Yudalit Adar, like Rov HaOlam. And then, if you want to be machmir, that's going to be just chassidus to read the Megillah again on Shushan for it.
And what do we hold with Kesari and Tveria now?
With Tveria, I don't know what they do in Tveria. Anybody know offhand? Been in Tveria for Purim? Anybody know what they're doing? No?
Sorry. That was all still in the 14th.
They do what?
Matanis of Yonim and like the Suda, if you're not sure, you do.
I mean, how far does the Midas Chassidus go? You mean, maybe you should also, okay? I don't know what to tell you. What's very interesting is Shulchan Aruch also says, and you say a bracha when you read the Megillah on Yudalit. That is actually pretty remarkable, but that's what it says. Okay, so in any case, the Gemara says, well, hold on a second. The whole thing doesn't help anyway. Just because we decided that we made up our mind that Rebbe must have been in Tveria on the 50th, that he was planning on the 14th, that everything makes sense. The Chipshita Le Mishari? So what? He was doing it on the other day. That doesn't make it mutter. The Haksiv, the Megillah's Tanis. But it says in Megillah's Ta'anis that Purim is 2 days. It's Yom Arbasar, that's Yom Chamisha Asar. On the 14th of Adar and the 15th of Adar, both Yomei Puria Inun. These are Yomei Purim Haim. Zilo Lemispe Behon, where you're not allowed to bespate him on either one. That's not clear from Megillah's Ta'anis. And Rava, in case you missed it, says, Rava says, Lo Nitzvah Ela Lesor Shal Zebizeh, Yes Shal Zebizeh. That people of 14th can't do Hespedim on the 15th, people on the 15th can't do Hespedim on the 14th, it's a 2-day holiday. And even if your day is of Megillah is one day or the other day, it doesn't matter. Both are Purim, and therefore both you can't do any Hespedim. So presumably that would be true about Malach also, you'd have to take 2 days off of work. And the Gemara says, no. Hani mili behesped v'tanis, maybe, but b'malacha yomecha v'sulo. No, the Gemara is saying that even if you have 2 days of Purim, it's not going to be 2 days of Yisr Malacha. It's 2 days of Yisr Tanis and Espedim. But we only have to take off 1 day from work. Yisr Malacha is only that day of your core, your main day of the Megillah. The Gemara says, well, hold on a second. That goes against the story that we once heard about. Beha Rav, but once Rav, Chaziyeh Eliyahu Gavra, once Rav saw a certain guy, to have a kashari kitna b'puria, who was planting, he was doing some work on Purim, and he got so angry at him, v'latiyeh, and he cursed him. And v'lot samach kitnei. And you always have to finish off a story like this. And his curse was effective, and nothing grew. But in any case, the point isn't that. The point is, but Rav got angry at him for planting. So what's the big deal? Maybe he was planting on a day that wasn't his own Purim day. And so, what was Rav jumping to conclusions like this? The Gemara says, no, what are you talking about? Hasam bar yom hava. No, it was clear to Rav that he was living right there in that house, and that was the day of the Purim for this person, and you can't get out of it by saying it wasn't his day. But, presumably, that you don't have to worry about Yisr Malacha on the other day. And Rab, that's what we say until now. And now, Rabba Breid the Rava Amar, Rabba Breid the Rava, very late in the Amorayim, he said, hold on a second. Afilu Tema Biyomei. No. This could have been Rebbe planting even on whatever day was Rebbe's day of Kriyas HaMegillah. And still, that's nothing wrong with what he did. Hesped v'tanis kabilu alayu, melacha lo kabilu alayu. And now, it's kind of funny, but here, deep into the Amorayim, Rabbi Breid the Rava is telling us that all the way back, however many centuries earlier it was, 5 centuries earlier, when Mordechai v'Esther established Purim as a holiday, there was buy-in on some of it, but not on all of it. It says, they accepted the holiday of Purim as a day of Mishta v'Simcha, of Yisr Hesped v'Tainis, but Melacha lo Kabilu. But they never accepted Purim as the day of Yisr Melacha. The Meikaran, you can tell from the Psukim. Anybody who reads carefully the Psukim can't miss this. It's obvious that this is the case. The Meikaran siv Simcha u'Mishta v'Yom Tov, that they sent out the letters saying that Purim has to be a day of Simcha Mishta v'Yom Tov. And then, v'Lebesov k'siv, you see a few Psukim later, it says, fine, so it was decided. La sosa sem yemei, mishta v'simcha. Yantav is not there. Yantav is not mentioned as a day, so that they never took it. Vila Yantav loksiv. So Yantav, there is no Isser Malacha on Yantav. So there's nothing wrong with what Rebbe did. So hang on a second. So then what was Rav so angry about? The Ella Rav, when he saw that guy planting, what was he so angry about? My time Elatia Elahu Gavra. So why did he curse that guy? The answer is because even if the Purim is not a day of Isser Malacha by virtue of the original Takana of the Anshei Knesset Gedola of that time, but still, it was subject to a minhag. Dvar hamutarim ve'acherim nagu bo in Isser, and this is the beginning of a phrase, and but it, what it refers to is that different communities accepted the minhag of Isser Malacha upon themselves. So that was what was going on there, is that this was Ubiyasrei the Rebbe lo nahug, but and Rebbe didn't have that, but in Rav's place where he was, where he cursed the guy he was planting, he, what he was doing was apparently flouting the minhag. So that's why he cursed him. And for our purposes, we don't have an Isser Malacha in terms of the Isser, but the Shulchan Aruch does say that it's proper to avoid Malacha on Purim. So it's not right to go to work on Purim if you can avoid it. And in terms of other Malachas, it doesn't seem to be about like putting on lights and stuff. It's not really that extent. Okay. In any case, the Gemara says a different explanation of what's going on with Rebbe. All this is trying to explain why was Rebbe planting his garden on Purim. So we had one interpretation was that it wasn't the right day of Purim. It was the other day of Purim. The other interpretation is that there is no Isser of Isser Malacha. There's nothing wrong with it unless you're in a community where they accepted it and Rebbe's community didn't. The Ibois Hema is a third interpretation, a third explanation of what's going on. Ibois Hema, Liolam Nahug. Maybe they had the Minag. And Rebbe was allowed to do what he was doing anyway because it was an exception. Why? Rebbe in Atiyah Shel Simchanata. Because Rebbe wasn't just planting. He was planting an Atiyah Shel Simcha, which is like a nice garden. Kidisnan, Avru Eilu Velonanu. Now, in order to understand what's going on over here, you have to remember when we learned in Tainus that in days of the tragedy, days of crisis, the days where Avru Elu, and they were fasting for the drought, and Lonane, when the drought persisted, then you do kind of partial Avelus. You do a miyut of masu matan, right? You try to cut back on business, on work. The binyan, you cut back on construction. The tea, you cut back on agricultural pursuits, on planting. Eirish and Yisun, you cut back on weddings. The tana ale, which kind of construction do you cut back on? It doesn't just mean building and household repairs and everything. It doesn't mean that. It means binyan shel simcha. And Netiyah means Netiyah Shel Simcha. So you see there's such a thing as regular binyan and there's happy binyan. There's regular planting and there's happy planting. And the Gemara now goes on, Ve'ezahu binyan shel simcha? Zeh bona beis chasnus levino. What's a happy building? It means you build kind of a canopy or something for the wedding. And Ve'ezah Netiyah Shel Simcha? When you're planting an abornaki shel malachim. Rashi says that it means a garden of flowers or something. So that would be something which would be forbidden when it's a sad time, when it's a time when you want to be memait simcha, but Purim is a day when you're marbid a simcha. And so that kind of planting would be very consistent with the day and not be subject to the Isser, or even if they had a minig against malacha, but it wouldn't apply to simcha malachas. Like this, and then maybe that's what Rebbe was doing, was planting a garden, flower garden. Okay, Gufa, let's get back to the Tveria thing. Gufa, Chizki Akari b'Tveria, b'Arbeser b'Chameser. Okay, we learned earlier, Gufa, Chizkiya, the Amor, read the Megillah and Tveria in the 14th and 15th, Misafkale, Imakev Eschavish Rabinoni, or not. Umi Misafkale, Imilse de Tveria. Hold on a second. What was the suffix that he could have had about Tveria? Can't we get to the bottom of this? The Haksiv doesn't say in the Pasuk, Arei Mivtzar. It says in the Pasuk in Yoshua, Arei Miftsar, Hatzarim.
Hatzadim.
Mine is a little about that. Okay. Tzur, Hamas, Rekes, Kinaris. Okay, so these are identified as being Arei Miftsar. Miftsar, fortified, presumably with a wall, and at that time, that would be eligible for walled city status. So it says these mysterious places, Hamas, Rekes, Kinaris. Well, Kinaris is not so mysterious. That's Yam Kinaris, so it's in that area. The Kaimalan, and the tradition has it, that Rekes is referring to Tveria. So there you go. So you have a pasuk, you have a tradition, and it looks like Tveria is a walled city. So the Gemara says, well, here's why it's questionable. Haina Taimed, the Misafkali. This is why it was questionable. Mishum dechad gisa shura deyama havas. One side of Tveria wasn't actually walled in. Its defense was simply from the fact that it was up against the Yam. It was up against the Yam Kinneret. And so it was a mostly enclosed city, but it was open in one part where it was open to the sea. So if that's the case, in that direction. So then what was the doubt? What was the question? Vadi lafcho mahi. So then it doesn't count. It might have been fortified to an extent, but it shouldn't have counted as mukav choma. It's not surrounded. Tisanya, like it says in the pasuk, like it says in the braisa, interpreting the pasuk. Pasuk says asher lo choma. Pasuk says the vekama bayis asher boir asher lo choma, that the house in the city that has a choma. It says here asher lo choma velo shor agar. Not that it's just the houses all form a wall by being built kind of next to each other, and you get an incidental protection of the wall just from beating the outer edges of the house. And saviv prat l'tveria sheyam chomasa pasuz asher lo chomas saviv. What does saviv mean? It means it has to be fully enclosed, not like tveria sheyam chomasa, that one choma is the yam. Okay, so put all together, we're being told here that the halachas of Ir Choma should not accept Tveria as being an Ir Choma. So what's our question about the Mikra Megillah? It should be disqualified. The Gemara says, well, that's true. Leinin bati Ir Choma lo misafkale. It's disqualified. Kika misafkale leinin Mikra Megillah. Megillah may not have exactly the same parameters. Why? My parazim, my mekafim. Because, look, we're contrasting the open cities, which is regular Purim, and the walled cities. Open, walled. So if that's the contrast, so then what is the distinction? My praz my mekafin the ksivi gabi mikra megillah mishum dahani miglu fahani lo migalu fahani migalia. Is it because, well, the open cities are exposed and Tveri is also exposed from the sea? Odilma mishum dahani miganu mignu fahani lo mignu. Or is it because walled cities are safe and open cities are not? And Tveria was safe also because the protection of the Yam was actually, it was effective as a protection, so that was actually safe. The Rishonim make a point about this as being perhaps what's going on altogether. Now, what in the world, the whole institution of walled cities being doing a Shushan Purim? Oh, because of a Shushan Purim, it's really odd. And so they have to look at how the Ran and the Ramban try to explain what's going on. They're the main voices on this discussion. And the question being, was this really supposed to reflect an actual difference between what Jews in walled cities experience in the Purim event? Or is it totally, it's just a creation of just imagining what an appropriate commemoration of Purim, regardless of how it actually should have been commemorated? In other words, were the Jews and in the Mordechai V'Esther time, were there walled Jews in walled cities that were actually feeling protected against enemies who were threatening them because of the decree of Haman and Ahasuerus? Were there Jews that actually had a different experience of Purim at the time because of their walled city experience? Or that's not what was going on at all? There were no Jews in any walled cities or anything, and simply there was Shushan. They had a second day, and they didn't want to make Shushan have its own status. And so we kind of created a category, but not because it had any real significance. So you have to look at the Rishonim who debate that on this line over here. about does the protection of the city matter for these purposes. In any case, so that's why Misafka lay. And incidentally, once we're on the subject, Mar says Rav Asi, living in Bavel, Kari Megil Behutzal, which is a place also in Bavel, in 14th and 15th, because he was unsure about Hutzal. He must have had some reason to think that Hutzal was a super old city, that even walled into the time, and back to Yeshua ben Nun's time, which is remarkable, because that's not even in Eretz Yisrael. Is there such a thing as a status of an Yermuk of Choma of Chutz La'aretz? That's also a question Rishonim have, but this Gemara sounds like he was saying, yes, Hutzal. Then the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. We might have gotten it wrong. Ikad the Amar, that wasn't what it was. It was Rav Asi talking about a different Hutzal. Hutzal the Beis Binyamin. That one. So he might not have been talking about his Hutzal in Bavel. He was talking about a place in Eretz Yisrael. Whether that was Mukav from Mr. Shabina and he. All right, let's stop over here.